Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." Jesus said to him, "As surely I say to you, that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. Then they came to a place which was called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. And he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch." He went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Then he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, and their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. Then he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude, with swords and clubs, came from the high priests and the scribes and the elders. Now his betrayer had given them a signal saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away safely." As soon as they had come immediately, he went up to him and said to him, "Rabbi, Rabbi," and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him. And one of those who stood by drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But the scripture must be fulfilled." Then they all forsook him and fled. Now a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth thrown around his naked body, and the young men laid hold of him. And he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. And they led Jesus away to the high priest. And with him were assembled all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. But Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. For many bore false witness against him, and their testimonies did not agree. Then some rose up and bore false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands.' But not even then did their testimony agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, 'Do you answer nothing? What is it that these men testify against you?' But he kept silent and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him, saying to him, 'Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?' Jesus said, I am, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, What further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. And they began to spit on him and blindfold him and to beat him and to say to him, Prophesy. And the officers struck him with the palms of their hands. Now Peter was below in the courtyard. One of the servant girls of the high priest came, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, You also were with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied it, saying, I neither know or understand what you are saying. And he went into the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, This is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it. And he began to curse and swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. And a second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And when he thought about it, he wept. Well, look, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to that portion we read together. Now, the memory is a strange thing. We seem to always to remember the bad things that people do to us, but we never seem to remember the good things that they do to us. It's a strange thing. Often we can remember, can't we, little things, but we can forget big things. I mean, there's been often in one's life, I'm sure with you, where you've forgotten anniversaries, forgotten perhaps major appointments. You may even have forgotten where you've been on holiday. You think to yourself, have we come here before? And then there are those small things that you just will never forget. I'll just give you one. A number of years ago, we had the Americans with us, and I had to vacate the house, and I was sleeping up in Robertson Wuthern, and I was awoken by, I would never forget it. The rooster crowed, the cockerel, and those who had been on a farm. I had never heard such a racket in the morning. It's the best alarm clock in the world. And I want to talk to you about that this day. I want to talk to you about when the rooster crows. Because what happened in the life of Peter was never forgotten. And when you read the Gospel of Mark, you're actually reading Peter's account of the good news. We know that because at the end of his life, Peter told us that he was going to put in order a written things of those things which he remembered. And there were certain things, I assure you, that Peter never forgot. And especially on that night in which he was betrayed. Those little details which stuck with him. And there was a reason for that, because on that night, it was the very night that Peter had denied the Lord Jesus. And when you're in an experience which is emotionally challenging, when you're in that experience in your life where there have been very emotional moments which have taken place, what you find is this: the memory has a double imprint and you will never forget. You can remember perhaps the little details. You remember the door shut in when you left the house on that enormous night when you took the step to leave. You remember the phone call which was given when the terrible news came. So much so that even now and again when the phone goes, you have a double take. You can remember all the little details of what you wore and what was said. Those things you don't forget. And when you read that account of what happened with Peter, he remembers those details. And the cockerel crowed the second time, and he never forgot it. And you read it there, don't you, in verse 72. And a second time the rooster crowed, then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when he thought about it, he wept. And although that may be just a very little incident, yet that incident is going to tell you some enormous things about who Jesus Christ is, how he deals with us in this world. And that this morning, if there's anybody here that needs to hear God's alarm clock, and perhaps that alarm clock has been ringing for a number of times, and like Peter, you've not been listening, but there comes a moment where the alarm clock strikes, and God put into this world his own alarm clock to wake us up from where we are in the sleep in which we find ourselves spiritually. And first of all, I just simply want to bring this point to you, that although it may seem a very trivial thing, yet actually in the whole story of what you read about in that chapter, you should have already been hearing that the very events which take place in the life and the death of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, every single one of them had been ordained. Every one of them he had under his control. If you were only listening, you would have heard that there was someone in control that night of every detail, of every happening, of every minute, of the hour which passed, and of every little creature which is in this earth itself. And what happens is this, is that God, you see, he's a purpose for each and everything. And you may not realize it this morning, but God has been speaking and calling and awakening you. And it hasn't been through the extraordinary and through the spiritual and the supernatural, so to speak. But God can use even the natural things which he places around us to call us back to himself, to awaken us to our senses. We know this day because the scientist has told us. Do you know there's not anything in this world in which we live which does not have a plan or a purpose? Every blade of grass which grows, every wave which washes on the seashore, for every ray of light which shines, has a plan and a purpose in God's world. And the rooster also has a plan. God had made it to greet the morning and the light which would dawn. God had the rooster to call the hens, the warning and the dangers which are around. And here you find it here. You find it there, do you not? There in verse 30. Because that very night, hours before, the Lord Jesus said to him, "As surely I say to you, that today, this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And in that very statement, you know, you don't know what's going to happen in the next 10 minutes. You have no knowledge of the future in any way. But the Lord Jesus on that night, do you see, it tells us something about him. That on that night and everything that takes place of Calvary, he knew it all before. He has spoken of it for months. The beating and the spitting and the mocking and the counsel and the trials and being lifted up to die. But he also knew the minor details. And not only that, you know, the Lord Jesus not only knew it, but has it all in his control. Everything that's in this world, it tells us of who he is. He's the God. And God uses the natural this morning, as well as the supernatural. He can take the small things in this world. Have you read the book? How he comes and he sends, does he not, the frogs from the pond to go into Egypt and to sort them out. He sends the locusts from the desert into Egypt to sort them out. He sends the flies, those little flies, to bring down the great superpowers of the day. He sends the donkey. He makes it speak to the prophet in its tracks. He sends the crows of the sky to feed his prophet who's hungry at the brook. He sends the great fish of the sea to get Jonah to the place he should be. He sends the little fish down into the river to pay the temple tax. He puts the star in the sky to guide those wise men. He takes, does he not, the earthquake to open up the doors for Paul. And he takes the rooster that he made. And he says, I'll tell you now, Peter, before this night then goes, and the rooster crows twice, you'll deny me three times. And you may not realize it this morning, but God has a way of speaking to us. And it ain't just, you see, with the spiritual and supernatural, although let me say to you, when I use those words, this world is not disconnected, you see, from God. Everything about it, his workings and his ways, they're seen in the paths, in everything that is we know about it. We can see the hand of God. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says that day unto day utters forth knowledge. Night unto night reveals knowledge. And every day there's a way that God is speaking. He really does. And he has, you know, he has his warning bells. They're all over the place, but no one seems to hear. When there's the thunder in the sky, the scriptures tell us that it's just one of those warnings which is now in the world, that this world is not as it should be, that there are things which are rumbling. When the lightning flashes, you can read about it. It comes from his throne. It tells us of warnings which are coming. If you were to walk into the jungle, you thank God. There's a roar of the lion. It's a warning that you're on that territory. In this little world in which we live, do you know, down in the boiler room, there's a little valve. And I'm no good at plumbing, but as it goes, you know, you've got this little kind of gauge, and it goes up and it goes up, and there's a red line. And it hasn't come to the red line, but when it comes to the red line, supposed to be the alarm bell goes off. Now, you may not realize it, but God, you see, he does all these things. He is the God who guards the dust of earth. He's the one who makes the heavens shine. He's the one, you see, who comes to us, and he does it for his good pleasure, for the warnings in our lives. You know, God's given you warnings in your very body, in the fabric of creation. You know that yourself. Your body tells you things. I know people say, well, I don't like my body, and I wish I was free from my body. No, your body isn't all bad. Your body tells you and gives you the indicator. It warns you when you're eating too much, when you're drinking too much, and your lifestyles are wrong. God's written it in to the very fabric of your body. And some of you who are ill, when you perhaps have that nosebleed, well, that should be a warning to you that there may be something wrong with inside. Do you not know that in your life, in the very natural things that God has given us, have you not been with family or friends and they've said to you, if you don't wise up, you're in for a rude awakening. They may not be the greatest prophet in the world. They may be as bad as you in their lives, but they give you the word and they tell you, I warn you, you watch where you're going. And you may not realize it, but God has been speaking to you through the very natural things, but no one has been listening. That was Peter. Jesus tells him, now Peter, I tell you, before this night is out, this rooster will crow twice before you deny me three times. But this also now is a warning because it comes to us at a very specific time. Sometimes you know when God is speaking to you, we don't hear him because, you know, we're not in tune with him, so to speak. But there are certain things that happen in our lives at certain moments, at certain places, which then you cannot deny. And when you read this verse in verse 72, it's a bad translation here, a second time the rooster crowed. It should have it because it's a wonderful word which Mark uses throughout the gospel. In the Greek, it's this, immediately, immediately. As soon as the rooster crowed the second time, immediately, then Peter, just at that moment, when he had denied him the third time, he then remembers those words of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm saying that because, as I said to you, God doesn't only just control everything. He controls the moments and the times which happen just then, not before, but when it was the third time. And you know, you can imagine God just holding that rooster's mouth, holding that mouth, until then he denies him the third time, and then it goes, and through that, Peter is awakened. I'm saying that because although people don't perhaps believe in God sometimes, they do say things like this, don't they? Wasn't that strange how someone should come along just at that time? Isn't it strange how someone should say that because that was just what I was thinking? Isn't it strange that, you know, that happened at that moment? What you don't realize is this. There's also now, you see, the very acts of providence which work out in a person's life, which then startle us and remind us and tell us that perhaps something may not be right. A number of weeks ago, we had a man who came to tell us about his work in Serbia, and he gave some books to us, wonderful books. I took some of those books home and been reading them. And one of them was called Messiology. It was how God works through the mess of everything which is in this world. And it was by George Weir. He was very honest. He was very honest. And he was speaking one of those books of his little love life and the romances that he had. And this is what he said, how he began his little courtship at 13. And then, you know, and then he gets, you know, a car, and he says, you know, he's going a little bit further. And he just says, you know, I was doing some of that necking. No one uses it these days. And he said, then a knock on the window. He couldn't believe it. A policeman had spotted him. And it happened again. And after that, there was no more necking. But it was a wake-up call that all of a sudden, providentially, these things that take place in our lives, and we have no explanation for them. Well, we do, don't we? Because what you find here, let me say to you, when you're thinking of Calvary this week, and people will tell you it's not worth mentioning the man who said that Jesus was someone who did not understand the people's opinions, that Jesus overstepped the mark when he entered into Jerusalem that day, that Jesus didn't have an understanding of the crowd. I mean, what kind of word is he reading? Jesus is the only one who understands. He's the only one who knows what's going to take place. Peter hasn't got a clue what's going to happen in his life. Jesus knows everyone who's going to leave him. He knows who's going to betray him. Jesus has got it all in this place. And you need to know that because Jesus, in everything that happened, it was all right on time. And he is the God who's in control. But I need to just recap for a moment because of what takes place in Peter's life. Because he's not listening to the alarm bell. I mean, how plain could this possibly be? In verse 30, let me just read it to you again. This translation may not be the best. Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you." What happens? He says, look, you're all going to be made to stumble. And Peter says, not me, Lord, not me, Lord. And Jesus uses these words. Do you know what words they are? "Truly, truly, amen, amen." Jesus not just said it, he's given a double amen. This is going to take place. And Peter more vehemently begins to say, "Others may leave you, but I will die for you." Now, the interesting thing about Peter is this. That man slept through the most important moments of his life. He was a sleeper. I mean, he needed the rooster to crow. I mean, you find him, don't you? There on the Mount of Transfiguration. What was he doing when the glory of Jesus was being revealed? And Peter was sleeping. You find him again. Jesus takes him to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's a sleeper, all right. You find him in prison, and the angels has come, the doors open. What's he doing? Sleeping. But he's sleeping spiritually. And he speaks, sleeping before the Lord, because the Lord has reminded him and told him he's going to deny him. Now, there may be some of you here, you're sleeping. You're awake, but you're sleeping spiritually into the dangers that you find yourself. Now, what happens is that where he goes, he goes in one sense. I want to tell you, Peter's not a backslider. He was one who was following the Lord. There were only two that remained with him at this moment, John and Peter. But Peter was further back. And when they took him, we find that he was following. Now, it may be this morning. I want to impress it upon you. When the rooster does crow, there's one place you never want to be in life. You never want to be in the place where you will deny Jesus Christ. You never want to be in the place where you'll deny the one who's only ever brought you good, ever blessed you. Jesus Christ is the one who fills your life, who's given you life. He's the one who's blessed you in the greatest possible way. Jesus Christ will give you the happiness and joy that only he could give. And you know what he's done for you. You know how he's picked you up, how he's changed you, how he's done those things in your life. But there are things that happen that can make us deny him. And here's one of them. You read it here in verse then 53. "And they led Jesus away to the high priest." Verse 54. "But Peter followed him at a distance." At a distance. If you're following Jesus today at a distance, it's an awful place to be, because you're neither in the world and you're neither in the church. You're in kind of no man's land. And I tell you what that place is. It's a place, you see, although you're not listening, Jesus has already spoken. You will deny me. You will deny me at that distance. And not only that, you find it there that he comes, does he not, to the wrong crowd in verse 54. "And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire." And then you'll find yourself in that wrong place. And it's a place that you can be. And Psalm 1 tells us, "Blessed is the man who does not, well, stand in the place of sinners, nor does he sit in the seat of the scoffers." Here he is, and he sat with the servants, and he warmed himself by the fire. And there's a place that you'll find yourself, and it'll be the place with the sinner and with the scoffer, where they make their jest about the Lord Jesus. And you know what you may be doing now? You're doing it in your life. You're denying him in your silence, and you don't speak a word for him. And then you find him, don't you? He's by the fire, and he's playing with fire. And you hear these words. These are the words. It's interesting how he does it. The little girl comes to him and says, I know you. You're with him. And he just simply says, "I don't know what you're talking about." He's evasive. And he denies him in private to one person. You find it again then in verse 69. "And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by him." And then he denies him a second time. It's evasive, but it's public. And then you find him the third time. And he denies him publicly and denies him definitely. I never knew him. My plea for you today is this. There may be those of you here today. Please, please, I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care how much experience you've had of being a Christian. What knowledge you have of being a Christian. Peter was 3 years with him. He's seen the greatest miracles. He's seen Jesus Christ in all his power. Mysteries have been foretold him. He's not someone who's even in a backslidden state. But could you not hear? It's not the backslider that happens to. It happens to Peter. And if it can happen to Peter, could it not happen to you or to me? We come to a place in our lives where we've ended up so close to the world, and we're ending up such a distance from him, and we've ended up now in such a place, the Lord who blessed you, you've come to deny. And you know what happens in our lives is this: God has the rooster to crow twice. Here it is. He denies him the first time, verse 68, and he went out into the porch and the rooster crowed. But you've not been listening. But God's been speaking to you. He's been speaking to you, as Peter records. How was he brought back? Sometimes, just through those normal, natural events that take place in this world. But then it happens at a certain moment, at a certain time, in a certain place, and it's not by chance. And it says, and when the rooster crowed the second time, Peter called to mind the word that the Jesus had said. Now there's one more thing that one needs to know, how God's alarm clock does work in our lives. He takes the natural, he takes times in our lives where we wouldn't have listened otherwise, but something takes place. But there's something else that happens. It's the alarm clock of the gospel. Not of the gospel. Let me just read you this verse. It's found in Luke chapter 22 and verse 61. At that very moment, what had happened was, is that the Lord had been now in that room with the high priest. Peter was in the courtyard, warming by the fire. He had been sentenced and condemned. We read in the account, he was spat upon, blindfolded, beaten, played with. And then what happens, just as Peter now is denying him the third time, the Lord is being brought out, and the Lord passes by. And the Lord, there it is, verse 60. And Peter said in chapter 22 of Luke, "Man, I do not know what you're saying." Immediately, while he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered his words, and he was broken. Just that moment, just as he was saying it, the Lord passes by, looks at him. Someone has said, "What was that look like?" I couldn't tell you what the look was like. But I do know this, that that look had upon it the pain of Calvary, the beatings of Calvary, the sufferings of Calvary. That look which now he saw in his beloved Savior, who he was denying, who was bearing his sin, who was carrying his trouble. As he looked, you say, what was it like? It was the look of pain and of sorrow. But there was a look too of pardon. And he was brought to his knees. And there's a way that God calls you. And you know how he calls you so often? It's something that only you can know when you become a Christian. He calls you through the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, he calls you through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And in your sorrow, it's in his goodness and his kindness and his mercy. And he looked at Peter, and Peter fell to the ground. Now, years ago, you may not know this, but perhaps some of you do, that when you look at a church, and on some churches you see a cockerel as a weather vane. I think there's one at Robertson Wuthen. Very interesting that there's one there. There's not one down in St. Andrews, but there was one there. I You say, well, perhaps it's church furniture. You've got something to do with tradition, something to do because people here in Robertson Wuthen need to know which direction the wind's coming from. But no, it wasn't like that. Shall I tell you what it was? It comes from this place. When the gospel, that means the gospel of Jesus Christ came to Europe 500 years ago once again, there was a man who read the scriptures and he found the great news that God can make you right with God by faith alone. He read the scriptures and the scriptures tell us that a person is saved by the grace of God. He read the scriptures and he heard the gospel that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and on that cross of Calvary, he said, it's finished. He read the gospel and he said that he would give you eternal life. There was a day 500 years ago where people came and they heard once more this wonderful news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It happened there in Germany. But what took place was this. They were split. Some churches accepted that very message. Some churches did not. And you wouldn't know which church to go to. And what they did was this. They put an image of the cockerel on top of the tower. And if you were in that place and you saw the cockerel on top of the tower, you would know this. That's the place where the gospel is preached. That's the place of God's good news and pardon is found. That's the place you will hear God's call. That's the place of his alarm clock, which will be given. And God comes to you in your life, and you may not realize it. This morning, if you could hear it, the cockerel is crowing. And he's telling you there's pardon. He's telling you there's mercy to you who's fallen and denied and backslidden. And in places, look, he is coming and calling you. And the rooster crows. And people sometimes don't hear it. But you can hear it here, can't you? And he's brought you to this place. And you say, but that's what we do every morning. But oh, but you don't realize it. That's the place I was in. I was with that wrong crowd. I was by that fire. And I know that my mother had told me and warned me many times, and those things are now brought back into my ears. And I was by a Sunday school teacher and they warned me, and you remember of those things that you were taught. And the rooster crows. Is it this morning that the rooster has been crowing in your life? God's alarm to wake us up from the sleep that we're in. Do you know what that tells me? It tells me a number of things. You've got years for this, surely. Doesn't that tell you that Jesus Christ was in control of everything? Every small detail of his sufferings on that cross. Not one strike, not one blow, not one spitting of the face was not outside of his control. And he allowed it to take place that you could know of who he is and what he has come to do. Does he not teach us now when Peter says of his great return, it wasn't the vision, it wasn't the great miracle. He said, I'll never forget it. I tell you, you must have remembered it most mornings when the cockerel crowed. He remembered that night and he never forgot it. He was brought home to our Lord and Savior. It teaches us how God deals with us. And he may be speaking to you even this day.